Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We have all been warned. The weather system that has been winding up off the coast of California is a big one, and it's incoming. In the forecast, lots of rain and, most concerning, strong winds. Power outages are once again likely, as well as flooding and possible mudslides in wildfire burn scar areas. This, as cleanup crews are still catching up from a weekend that brought several inches of rain in parts of our area, down to power lines, fallen trees in the valley, and in the Sierra, first a drenching of rain followed by lots of snow. The good news is that there are breaks wedged between these strong systems. We're starting off with the timing and the severity of what's to come. Joining us is KCRA Chief Meteorologist Mark Finan. Mark, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
And good morning, Vicky. It's great to be here. Thank you.
So this first wave of the storm is here. It's incoming. And you've referred to it as a classic comma-shaped storm off the coast. Can you explain what that is and what we can expect in the next few hours?
So, yeah, this one has been perfect when we looked at it on satellite. It has a great deep low that's out there in the Pacific, a very deep low. As a matter of fact, way out there in the Pacific, it did have hurricane force winds. That doesn't affect us, but it does give you an idea of the strength of this storm. And what we're seeing this morning is the warm part of it going by that gives us light rain. We've picked up about a tenth of an inch of rain so far. So you get light rain, and then in the middle of today, there'll be a break, as we'll be in the warmer sector of it. And you mentioned the fact that we're going to see rising snow levels. So the Sierra may see some rain up around 7,000 feet for a while today as this warmer air moves in. For the valley, we'll see this break through the middle part of the day. Noontime will be dry. And then this evening, maybe around 5 or 6 o'clock, we get back into the heavier rain when the cold front starts to come through. The boundary between the warmer air and the colder air begins to rush in. And that's how we'll see 3/4 of an inch or maybe an inch of rain during the evening hours and during the overnight. And it's also at that time between, let's say, 5 p.m. and maybe 1 a.m. that we'll see the strongest winds. And as you mentioned, that is our biggest concern with this particular storm, different from Saturday when our bigger concern was the amount of rain. The concern here is the fact that we could have winds gusting, let's say, close to 50 miles an hour in parts of the valley, in the east side of the valley, and the possibility of power outages and trees down and that sort of thing.
You mentioned that this is a big difference from the system that made its way through on New Year's. Are there any big differences about the system that's incoming compared to the one that we're still recovering from and still cleaning up?
Absolutely. And it's we talk about these atmospheric rivers where we get the heaviest rain. On Saturday, we saw the pocket of heaviest rain in our area anyway, basically from Interstate 80 down to Amador County. So for parts of Placer County, El Dorado County, Amador County, Placerville saw 10 inches of rain, and so did Blue Canyon over a 72-hour period. And the impact of that was downstream on the Cosumnes River, and we are still seeing some of the impacts from that. So these atmospheric rivers tend to give us a relatively narrow area, where you see the pocket of heaviest rain. This storm, that focus of heaviest rain is going to be farther north. So it's going to be north of Interstate 80. It'll be impacting areas like Mendocino County, the Feather River Basin of Butte County, as well as Plumas County, and then even farther to the north up toward the Redding area. The impact of that will be over the next few days and probably over the next few waves of rain that we're expecting into next week. We'll see impacts on places like the Russian River. We'll be hearing about the impacts in places like Guerneville. And for our area, a little bit closer to home and things we care about a little bit, is Oroville. Lake Oroville is only at 39% of total capacity. Above Lake Oroville, we're going to see abundant rain and snow over maybe the next week. So we'll see great inflows to that and finally get some really good levels on Lake Oroville. And the same thing on Shasta, which today stands at 34% of total capacity. It could use a lot of water. It could use 2 million acre feet and still be well below capacity. So what I think we're going to see with these atmospheric rivers shifting a little bit farther north is really good inflows where we need it. And while we will see rain around Sacramento, as well as into the Cosumnes River Basin and that sort of thing, they won't be of the same intensity that we saw on Saturday.
And that's an important point, that among our two largest reservoirs in the state have enough capacity to shoulder what's in store for us.
Absolutely. And on Saturday and Sunday, when we saw the impacts of the rain on the Cosumnes River, there were flashbacks to 1997. And in 1997, of course, we had a big, big storm, series of big storms come through. But before those storms came through, we already had a lot of water in Shasta and Oroville and Folsom and Don Pedro. And so when the storms came in, we had to have water dumped out of those reservoirs. So that put high water on the Sacramento and the American and the Feather, and that led to a lot of flooding problems. So in some sort of an odd sense here, the drought is working in our favor. The fact that we're going into this rain season with such low levels on our reservoirs is really working in our favor. So any rain that's falling above Shasta or Oroville or any of the other reservoirs is basically being captured and is acting as a nice buffer. It's really helping to keep the valley dry. You know, and Vicki, it's interesting with all the rain that fell above Folsom this week, and they have started releasing water out of Folsom at a nice gentle pace. I was thinking with the inflows we saw on Saturday, they were so immense that if Folsom hadn't been there, we would have seen flooding in Sacramento. And it's just a reminder of what Folsom is there for. It's there to protect the valley, and it did its job perfectly over the weekend.
Right, because the primary purpose of Folsom Lake is for flood protection, correct?
Exactly. And I know a lot of people get mad when they start releasing water like they are right now. But, you know, we had more than 100,000 cubic feet per second coming in during the day on Saturday. And so let's say if you had 100,000 coming in for one day, like we did Saturday, that would have exceeded the capacity of the American River down below. So instead, what they're doing is releasing 25 per day over 4 days, and it equals the same thing, but at a much more controlled pace. So that's how you get the buffer that Folsom Dam is, and it protects the valley. And like I said, it's doing its job perfectly.
Given that we also experienced dangerous flooding over the weekend, I mean, Highway 99 was shut down. At least one person was killed. There's reports two people possibly have died. And you just saw all the cars that were submerged in water. Are there some areas in maybe the south portion of Sacramento County or other parts of Northern California that are of concern flooding-wise when it comes to smaller rivers, streams, and creeks?
So let's talk about the Cosumnes for just a little bit. We are going to continue to see higher than average water come down there because of the continued rain we're going to see. The inflow out of Michigan Bar, which is out by Rancho Murrieta, and there's a gauge out there. On Saturday, it had a peak inflow of about 68,000 cubic feet per second. Over the next couple of days, it'll peak around 10 or 11. So 10 or 11 versus 68 or 69. So it gives you an idea. It's a lot less water coming down. However, the water down below where the valley kind of flattens out, the river just kind of flattens out in the southern part of Sacramento County, down near Highway 99 and I-5, areas like Point Pleasant, areas like Bruceville Road, Twin Cities Road, you're going to continue to see high water down there, and some of those roads will continue to be impacted. Now, in terms of what's going to be impacted around the state, I mentioned the Russian River. We are going to be hearing a lot about that because as these new atmospheric rivers come in over the weekend and into next week, right now anyway, it looks as though that focus is going to be farther north, so we'll likely see some flooding coming from those atmospheric rivers on some of the coastal rivers like the Russian River, maybe farther north on the Eel and maybe a little farther south on the Navarro.
Given that we have a break or two in between these systems that are moving through, yesterday was pretty much dry, Friday's looking good. Does that improve our chances to avoid or even mitigate large-scale flooding and other consequences of these strong atmospheric rivers that are moving through our area?
It does. It's nice to have the breaks, and the breaks really help our smaller streams and creeks. And so let's say if you're looking around the Sacramento area, things like Arcade Creek or the other creeks that wind their way through populated areas of Sacramento County, those rise and fall very quickly. Within the matter of hours, they can crest and fall. And so when you get a break of a day, those can come back down. So when the next wave of rain comes in, they may rise, but they'll stay relatively within their banks. And the thing that we also look at with these storms is the rate of rain and how long it rains. In other words, if you see an inch of rain, but it's spread out over 24 hours, that's okay. But if you get an inch of rain in 6 hours, you're going to see flooding on those streams and creeks. And right now I'm seeing our rain rates stay within the range of as these storms come through. We may see 3/4 of an inch to an inch of rain over the course of a day. I'm not seeing the excessive kind of rain that we saw on Saturday get repeated just yet.
Given that there's also forecasting, possibly 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, and there are still cleanup crews cleaning up trees and down power lines. We had widespread power outages. What should people expect with another strong batch of winds that potentially could be stronger than what we experienced over the weekend?
Yes, or at least as strong, I would think. From a different direction, it was really interesting on Saturday evening. We started getting a strong north wind. This wind is going to be out of the south and southeast. So I think you're going to have different exposure. Different areas will be exposed to the wind than were from the north wind. Regardless of the direction of the wind, it will still be strong, gusting over 50, especially in areas north of Sacramento. We may see those gusts of 60 they mentioned, areas like Butte County or maybe even in the Marysville area. And so the strongest winds are likely to start maybe around 5 p.m. and go up to about 1 a.m. or so. The winds will gradually die down overnight. So I think that a lot of people this evening, it's impossible to say where we may see power outages, but I would think that anybody from Amador County through Sacramento County, El Dorado, and all the way to Butte County should be prepared for the possibility of power outages tonight. And while you can get prepared for a power outage, knowing where your flashlights are, candles, or whatever it might be, making sure your phones are charged, the sad thing is that there's nothing you can do if a tree is going to come down in your neighborhood or on your house. It's one of the unfortunate things that may happen tonight, but we just don't know where, and there's nothing you can do to really prepare for that.
Given that we're talking about wet weather, I mean, you don't often think of wildfires, but there are the risks of potential mudslides and burn scar areas. What are you monitoring?
Well, we're looking mostly at the areas farther north, like the Dixie fire, the Mosquito fire a little bit less, and other fires that are a little bit farther north. So what you can get there are debris flows if you get excessive rain from very saturated ground. Now, if you take the Mosquito fire, for instance, well, there could be debris flows if we get enough rain in that area. You think about where the Mosquito fire burned, and it was close to Forest Hill. But Forest Hill is up on the top of the hill. So if they're going to be in debris flows or mud flows, they'll actually be below Forest Hill and going down into the rivers where nobody lives. There is some infrastructure down there, some power infrastructure, but the impact of a mudslide or a debris flow from the Mosquito fire burn scar would be minimal on civilization, let's put it that way.
I know it's hard to predict, Mark, but looking long term, the change in the weather pattern, I mean, it seems promising in terms of, we talk about drought often in California. Is the storm door kind of open? I mean, can you give us a hint of what's coming in the next, obviously there's a 10-day forecast and potentially even longer term?
I keep looking at the models, keep thinking that they're going to turn off the tap. Maybe it's shades of last year that have left some scars in me. Last year just being the driest January, February, March on record. I certainly didn't like that, and we didn't like it in terms of drought. But the next 10 days do look promising. But you don't get out of a drought without having a few bumps along the way, and certainly we're seeing that. With the as the storms come through, there is an impact from it. We do see trees down. We do see some flooding here and there. But in the long run, and in the big picture, if you do keep this pattern going long enough, we will see a significant impact in the drought status. An interesting stat for you, Vicki. I talked about how last year's January, February, March was the driest on record, driest 3 month period of that stretch of the year. We picked up 0.99 inches of rain in Sacramento. So far, here on the fourth day of the month of January, we've already matched that.
Wow.
So, and obviously, we're going to exceed that with what we're expecting in the next 10 days and beyond. So, yeah, we're going to be monitoring these waves of rain as they come in, where the focus of the atmospheric river is going to be, what the snow levels are going to be. But I think that as long as we keep getting manageable amounts of rain with each wave, I think the impact will be minimal and the effect on our reservoirs will be beneficial.
Talking about these pendulum swings in weather in California, the first snow survey, the manual one, was held yesterday along Highway 50 near Sierra Ski Resort. I have been there many a times, Phillips Station. It's a 174% of normal, according to Department of Water Resources. And I was thinking of when I did the snow survey in 2017 compared to 2018, and it was a completely drastic difference. You had lots of snow in 2017. At 2018, it was just all dirt and a dry patch of land. I mean, what are your thoughts on this manual snow survey? There are hundreds of electronic ones always happening across the Sierra, but can you give us some perspective about the snow survey that took place yesterday?
Well, as the DWR put it, we're off to a promising start. And I think that It's great to see it also statewide. I mean, Phillips Station, as you mentioned, is just along Highway 50, and there are hundreds of areas from Shasta down into the Southern Sierra that they measure. And while we talk about our reservoirs, places like Shasta and Oroville, Don Pedro, New Malones, being big reservoirs, in the big picture, the biggest reservoir in the state is the snowpack. So if you look at that right now, that stands at 174% of average. And as we look at that number going forward, what we look at, we look toward is April 1st. Now, I don't remember the exact number, but I think that if we didn't get any more rain or snow, it's at 66, I think, percent of the average for April 1st. So what we want that April 1st number to be is not 100%, but maybe something like 125 or 140% by the time we get to April 1st, because with that, we'll be able to fill the reservoirs down below with a nice steady snow melt as we go through April, May, and into the month of June. So it's a promising start. But as we saw last year, if you suddenly get a dry period, or extended dry period, that can dwindle. So we're going to be looking toward that April 1st number. And one other thing, Vicki, I do want to mention, you talk about the dry and the wet that we get into. I wouldn't be surprised if after we get through this series of storms, and it may be 10 or 14 days from now that things begin to shift a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a 3-week lull. I wouldn't be surprised if by, let's say, Super Bowl Sunday, early February, we're sitting here at sunny and 75 degrees and wondering when it's going to rain again. We often see that. We often see breaks of 3 to 4 weeks during the course of our rain season, before the rain starts again. So don't be surprised if that happens after we get this very impressive series of storms that will continue over the next 10 days or so.
Mark, thanks as always for joining us.
Vicki, thanks for having me.
This is kind of like your Super Bowl, right?
It's a busy time of year, but I absolutely love it. This is my time of year.
Mark Finan is KCRA's chief meteorologist. Up next, the Sierra has not seen this level of snow this early in the winter, according to DWR, in decades. We'll head up to Tahoe and get a firsthand look of how the area is doing and what is expected in the coming days. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.